It's Wednesday, April 8th. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is your daily coronavirus update. China has officially lifted the lockdown of Wuhan, the city where the coronavirus outbreak first emerged. When all this started, China shut down the city of 11 million, and many countries took the same steps in some fashion. Now, the city is opening back up, but all is not as it was before. People can leave Wuhan, but a government-sanctioned phone app will have to affirm that they are not a contagion risk. Some businesses have set up street-front counters so customers can get their goods without going inside, and schools remain closed. Marisa Fernandez, reporter for Axios, joins us for the end of the Wuhan lockdown. Thanks for joining us, Marisa.
Thanks so much.
So we had some interesting news. On Wednesday, China has lifted the lockdown on Wuhan, the city where the coronavirus first emerged. And, you know, this just this big symbol of the pandemic. It's killed tens of thousands of people there. They were kind of the first ones to shut everything down in this time. You know, in 2020 right now, you think this can only happen in a place like that with this authoritarian system that they can shut something down so major. Because, you know, when we were seeing this on the U.S. side, you're like, wow, that's crazy. We could never do that here. But since then, countries around the world and to a large extent, even in the United States, we've had some version of this. Marisa, tell us what's happened to China in recent times and why they're reopening now.
So, yeah, like going off the point that you just mentioned, you know, we have half of the globe's population under some type of stay at home, work from home order. Right. And that seems insane. And so what, you know, something that's become pretty clear to government leaders and public health leaders around the world is that society is going to look very different after all of this is over. Going to be some type of new normal. And this is the same case for Wuhan. Like you said, once the epicenter of China and the world in terms of, you know, the leading amount of deaths and leading amount of cases. But it's 11 million people are finally being able to come out of their homes and their borders are being opened because there has been a drastically slow amount of people that have either contracted the virus or have died from the virus since it's 76 days that it's been on lockdown.
Yeah. And, you know, everything really, since obviously it first emerged there, the coronavirus, everything that we've been looking at, studies that we've been looking at, everything is starting there. You know, how the virus has affected people, treatments, possible treatments. You know, we're looking to China for a lot of things to see how they handled it, and then we can modify it for ourselves. And all eyes are going to be on Wuhan for some time to see how they rebound, how they start opening shops again. And there's some, there's a little bit of that already. They have new, some new rules still in place, restrictive measures that, you know, we're going to have to see if those things work for us. So tell us a little bit about some of those things, how people are moving and how businesses are starting to open.
Absolutely. Yeah. To go off what you were saying, you know, Wuhan is opening up its borders when Europe and the U.S. aren't anywhere near that point, right? You know, we all see those big, crazy kind of projections of, you know, the bell curve, and we're just not anywhere near that point yet. And so China is tracking the comings and goings of all of its people rather carefully. One scenario that no country wants to happen is that they reach their peak and see that slow, and then all of a sudden they see a resurgence in cases. Definitely a worst case scenario. So like you said, all eyes are definitely going to be on, you know, the handling of this. And businesses had been slowly trying to reopen in the past few weeks, you know, but there's still a lot of hesitancy and public anxiety, not only going back to work, but, you know, public transit is, you know, not as full as it once was. Congregating in outdoor spaces is just finally starting to, you know, see people in public with families, older individuals finally congregating. And so that's not something an industrious economy, you know, like Wuhan can quickly bounce back from.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is how people can move and the tracking that goes involved into it. You know, we have to draw these parallels to how things would happen here in the United States. I don't know if it would get that far here, but people can leave after presenting to the authorities these government-sanctioned phone apps that say, based on their addresses and recent travels and everything, whether they're risks for the contagion. So, I mean, some of these rules in place are very, very strict. And as far as the businesses go, you know, a lot of them are setting up kind of street front counters so customers can buy some of their items without having to enter the stores. And you know, as I said, what are they doing? How will it be implemented here? Stores here in the United States, you already see people limiting the amount of people entering. But, you know, could this be done for some smaller stores? These are all things that we're going to be looking at.
Absolutely. I mean, going back to the government tracking everybody's medical and travel history through an app, I mean, that's definitely not something you would see here. And a New York Times article posted on Tuesday had mentioned that, you know, the Chinese Transit expects, you know, 55,000 people to travel out of the province by Wednesday. Well, that's if you are allowed to travel, right? You know, if you are, you know, some type of medical history or travel history, you need clearance before you can actually get on a train and go somewhere.
What are they planning to do as far as their big, their bigger factories, Honda, things like that, and the vast amount of workers that need to get into small spaces and work in these factories? And, are there any plans for that?
In terms of Honda, there's a lot, like I said, a lot of these places are surging. That's something that, you can definitely force people to come, but it's more of a voluntary basis. And I know a lot of places are looking differently in terms of like how to produce back to that full capacity. But when you look and see, you know, what's being produced, it's all about demand. And if people aren't driving, then that right. demand also isn't necessarily needed. So it's really a tricky balance that I know everyone's going to be watching.
You know, I keep saying we're looking to Wuhan and to China as a model to see how we'd react, how to change our reaction or modify what we're doing. There's been a lot of skepticism about their statistics also. People think that maybe they really weren't counting a lot of cases, or maybe the number of deaths weren't as high as they think they might have been. So that's another concern too, is that, you know, the government there has not always been so forthcoming with a lot of what's going on there. So that's another thing that we'll have to factor into how we respond to this, you know, using them as an example.
Absolutely. Yeah, there are tons of questions about the veracity of China's count, and, you know, what, but, you know, I want to say, you know, what's kind of clear on that, you know, more so is that this measure to reopen Wuhan wouldn't necessarily been done if it weren't under control. So you can definitely see, you know, this is after 76 days of a complete shutdown of 11 million people. So it's definitely going to be, you know, worth watching on what they can do. But yeah, you make a very good point in terms of, you know, the data has definitely been really tricky and questioned by a lot of different governments.
Yeah, I mean, but you make the point as well, too. Why would they do this to themselves? Why would they reopen if they weren't ready for it yet? And I know that, you know, economies are being crippled across the world, and we want to get back to work and we want to get that going. But yeah, why would they do that to themselves? So it's not really in their benefit to approach it that way. But for now, I mean, you know, we're really going to see the, kind of this full circle for them, you know, starting there, shutting everything down. Now they're reopening, and hopefully for them, things do come back. But as I said, all eyes on them in the meantime to see how it happens. And hopefully there's, you know, with the reopening, there is no reemergence of the virus. It doesn't start spreading. I think this week or so they've only reported 3 new cases in the last 3 weeks and 0 deaths mm-hmm. since this whole thing started. So they are have turned this point, and hopefully they can maintain that.
Absolutely.
Marisa Fernandez, reporter for Axios, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this has been your daily coronavirus update. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.